Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Mic on. All right, there we go. We got the microphone on. 1 week ago, what were we talking about? 1 week ago, we were talking about the fact that there was an assassination attempt on a president of the United States, on a former president, on President Donald J. Trump. And now today, what are we talking about 1 week later? A president of the United States withdrawing from the presidential race. All right, let's see. A lot to get to here this morning on the show. As you can hear, I don't know if you can hear me shuffling some papers in the background. I had to take all the Friday morning show prep that I left in place in case I run in late and need something in front of me. And I recycled all of that and haven't lined up all of Monday's show prep yet. But I've got one of the things I had on my desk here from Friday morning came in at 9:21 in the morning on Friday. I hope I read Jerry's email over the air. I'm pretty sure I did, but maybe I didn't. I don't know. You just never know what all we talk about on the show here. Jerry, I don't know if it's Jerry in Billings or where Jerry was emailing me from, but Jerry said this on Friday morning. What are the odds that Biden, having COVID right now, is an excuse for him to claim that due to the illness, he doesn't have the energy to lead our country and campaign at the same time. So out of pure patriotism, he will drop out of the race so that he can concentrate on leading our country while someone else runs for president. That way they can dump him without also admitting he is incapable. Now, boy, did Jerry call it. But then again, like I think we all kind of cough, COVID test. Wasn't this just blatantly obvious that this is what was happening when they mentioned, oh, he tested positive for COVID. Oh, now we're talking COVID again. My goodness. I mean, the straight up phoniness is so easy to spot with these people, and the way the fake news media, oh, Joe Biden, they're just fawning over Joe Biden this morning. What a freaking joke. What a freaking, the other headline that we had in front of us Friday was a post by Ben Shapiro at thedailywire.com. The palace coup is on. Well, the palace coup was successful. Look, they all knew for the last 4 years this guy was not ready to be president. They've known for the last 4 years this guy was incapable, was unfit. But now, oh, it just all of a sudden dawned on him after all of these primary elections, after the entire process was practically complete. Now they decide he's just having too many troubles. He's just not capable to run for president of the United States. Then why is he capable to be the president of the United States? And now the people they're talking about potentially replacing him with Kamala Harris being the first one. Look, what has been the worst thing about the Biden administration? It's the people he has put in power. It's the people that are running his administration. And I said this again after that disastrous debate. Look, the problem is the people that are running his administration, the people that will continue running the White House even after Joe Biden's gone.
Securing America.
The White House commenting Thursday on this week's revelation of an Iranian-backed plot to assassinate former President Trump. White House National Security Communications Advisor John Kirby says officials continue to watch
for any malign activity by foreign actors with respect to our electoral politics in this country.
Kirby says the monitoring of the threat has been constant following the drone strike in January of 2020, which killed Iranian Revolutionary Guard commander and known terrorist Qassem Soleimani.
And the Iranians' desire for retribution for that.
And Kirby adds,
we continue to communicate as appropriate with those who could be targeted.
The Iranian threat is not believed to be associated with last Saturday's assassination attempt on the former president. Kim Uretsky, Fox News.
serving the great state of Montana. From the peaks of the Beartooths to the banks of the Clark Fork River, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, here's a Fox News headline for you right now, foxnews.com. Kamala Harris spent months shooting down concerns over Joe Biden's mental competency. In other words, she lied to you. She has met with this guy at least once a week. She knew that he had these problems, and yet she lied to the American people. Straight up lied to the American people. John Tester also lied to you, the people of Montana.
Joe Biden, when I've been around him, and that's not every day, but when I've been around him, when I've seen him on the news, he's absolutely 100% with it. Mm-hmm. And he's got his recall, cognitive ability, whatever you want to call it. I'm not a doc, I'm a dirt farmer, but he's fine. Yeah, he's doing a good job. I think folks are making a bigger deal out of it than it is.
All right. John Tester not only was lying to you, but he continues to lie to you to this day. And he continues to support allowing Joe Biden to remain in power. For those who haven't heard the news, I'm sure all of you heard the news by now, Joe Biden is officially withdrawn from the 2024 presidential race. Yeah, I remember last week, all of a sudden Joe Biden has COVID. COVID test. Well, good excuse to go into hiding. What did we write? I wrote this on, when was the 19th? That was Friday, but I probably wrote it on the 18th. I just republished it for the 19th. But this is what I said. This was the story that I published. Senator Steve Daines at the RNC says Democrat senators are lying to you. And then in that same story for our Montana Talks website, I also shared the news that liberal Senator John Tester was finally calling on Joe Biden to withdraw from the presidential race. Here's what I wrote last Thursday. I said, by the way, liberal Senator John Tester is now calling on Biden to withdraw from the presidential race. As I noted via Twitter, let me pull up that tweet here for a second. I want to see what time and what day that was exactly. Here's what I said via Twitter. All the chatter has been that Biden is about to withdraw from the race. Cough, cough, COVID test. The cowardly John Tester finally saying something must mean that it's about to happen. But reminder, it is the Biden Tester policies that are failing America. Once again, John Tester waited for his marching orders from Chuck Schumer. Let me see. When did I share that? Yeah, that was Thursday just before 7 p.m. is when I said, once again, John Tester waited for the marching orders from Chuck Schumer. That's what I tweeted on Thursday. And you guys know me. I mean, I'm not normally the type to say, this is what's happening. This is what's not happening. This is my prediction. I try not to do predictions. I don't know. Plus, this is all, palace intrigue back in Washington, D.C., a lot of it prior to yesterday. Right. But I said, if the cowardly John Tester is finally saying something, then that means it's about to happen. Because that coward wouldn't come out and say something if it wasn't going to happen, if he didn't get his marching orders from Chuck Schumer, right? Because that guy is such a phony and so calculated, and he's got the media in his back pocket. But you know what the other big story that we're not talking – let me stay with this story here for just a second. I forget we've got all morning. I know I'm trying to pack everything all into the first few minutes of the show here. So Joe Biden withdraws from the presidential race. Now, Montana Republicans like Senator Steve Daines and Tim Sheehy are calling from Biden to step down from the presidency altogether. Senator Steve Daines sent out a statement right after the news broke Sunday morning. If Joe Biden is no longer capable of running for re-election, he is no longer capable of serving as president. Being president is the hardest job in the world, and I no longer have confidence that Joe Biden can effectively execute his duties as commander-in-chief. It is out of concern for our country's national security that I'm formally calling on President Biden to resign from office. Senator Daines also called it striking that none of the Senate Democrats who served with Vice President Harris have called for her to replace President Biden. This leads me to believe they think she is unqualified to serve as commander-in-chief. That's a very good point there, too. Now, Navy SEAL veteran and Montana Republican U.S. Senate candidate Tim Sheehy added this, quote, Montanans will never forget that John Tester lied to all of us when he engaged in the left's cover-up and said Biden is 100% with it. The truth is, Joe Biden must immediately resign as president of the United States because if you're not fit to even run for president, you're not fit to serve as commander-in-chief for one day longer. He added this in a post on X shortly after 1 p.m. Sunday. Further, if John Tester is not endorsing Vice President Kamala Harris for president, then does he believe that she is also unfit to serve as president? It's time to turn the page on this disastrous era of American weakness and bring in a new generation of strong America First leadership to save our country from the Biden Tester agenda. And on that point, that's the point here. You know, Donald Trump and President Trump and vice presidential candidate J.D. Vance did a big sit down interview with Jesse Waters on Fox News last night, who immediately they kicked into primetime coverage after this big news, even on a Sunday. And I've got a portion of that interview that I can share with you coming up after this. But, you know, but Donald Trump said something to the effect of, well, we don't know who we're going to be running against. But he made it clear that he knows what they're running against, but more importantly, what he is running for to make America great once again. But we know what. We may not know who Trump's going to be running against, but we know what he's running against. The failed policies of Joe Biden, John Tester, and Kamala Harris.
I'm Gianna DeLosi with your Fox True Crime Minute. The leader of a neo-Nazi extremist group based in Europe has been charged with plotting a mass casualty event targeting Jewish children in New York City. Mikhail Chikikeshvili was indicted on 4 charges, including soliciting hate crimes and acts of mass violence, after authorities uncovered his plan to have a friend dress up as Santa Claus, go into Jewish schools in Brooklyn and hand out poisoned candy on New Year's Eve. Prosecutors say he began planning the scheme in November of 2023. The 21-year-old from the Republic of Georgia is also known as the Commander Butcher and allegedly leads the maniac murder cult. The Justice Department says it's an international extremist group that promotes violence against groups it deems undesirables to upset social order via terrorism. Chikikeshvili was arrested after he tried to recruit an undercover law enforcement officer to join his group. He could face decades in prison if convicted. There's more on the story at foxnews.com. Subscribe to the Fox True Crime Podcast with Emily Campagno. I'm Gianna DeLosi with your Fox True Crime Minute.
Here's a look at your real weather for Billings and Bozeman. With some hazy sunshine across the area for today, we're looking at high temperature readings around 93 degrees in Bozeman, 96 in Billings. For tonight, clear to partly cloudy. Low temperatures in the low to mid-60s. Then on Tuesday, we can expect more hazy sunshine, highs in the mid-90s in Bozeman to around 101 degrees in the Billings area. That's a look at your real weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Frombly.
All right, I'm looking at my calendar for next week. It's pretty wide open, and that's a good thing. With all the big topics in the news right now, the last thing you want me to do is fill the show with a bunch of guests, and then we're not allowing you to talk about the big stories of the day. We're not allowing you to be heard all across Montana. Hey, this is the show where Montana gets to talk, where you get to be heard all across Montana. I'll be at the Governor's Cup in Kalispell next week. Other than that, calendar is wide open for you.
Good morning, everybody. It's time for your Daybreak Egg Report. I'm Russell Nimitz, and thanks for being with us here on the Western Egg Network. Well, during the recent National Corn Growers Association's Corn Congress in Washington, D.C., Ambassador Doug McCallop, who serves as the chief ag negotiator in the office of the U.S. Trade Representative, said that the U.S. has made a strong case in the dispute with Mexico over genetically engineered corn under the U.S., Mexico, and Canada agreement. Of course, corn growers have worked closely with Ambassador McCallop and USTR after Mexico announced its intent to block imports of genetically engineered corn. The organization and corn grower leaders sounded the alarm. USTR worked with corn growers as it filed a dispute settlement case on the issue under USMCA. Now, Corn Congress meets every summer in our nation's capital to vote on policy positions, elect new board members, and to hear from the nation's top leaders. In some other news here on this Monday morning, according to Drovers, in an effort to help fund research studying sustainable animal agriculture practices and reducing the environmental impact of the beef industry, Cargill has issued a $1 million grant to Colorado State University and the university's AgNext research program. Cargill says that the $1 million grant will help to address a critical agriculture challenge, methane emissions from feedlot cattle, which are naturally produced during the digestive process. Studies, they say, will take place at Colorado State University's Climate Smart Research Facility during the next couple of years, and the research will help determine the impact of different ingredients and additives in cattle diets on methane emissions and beef steers fed typically finishing type rations. Stay with us. We'll have more Ag News right after this.
Are you concerned about the impact government policies could have on your cattle business? One way to make your voice heard in Washington is by joining NCBA. When you join, you'll be part of the nation's oldest and largest national cattle industry organization that has a professional team working in Washington, D.C. on issues that matter to cattle-producing families nationwide. Don't stay on the sidelines. Make your voice heard by joining NCBA today at the website ncba.org.
It's haying season in Western Ranch Supply Country, and we are your headquarters for Bailey Twine and Net Wrap. Western Ranch carries twine for small square, large square, and round bales, and net wrap available in 64 and 67 inch widths with rolls up to 9,000 feet in length. And don't forget, we carry a variety of moisture testers to help ensure you're putting up the best quality hay possible. Stop in and see us in Billings or Great Falls, or give us a call for delivery.
Well, this past week, Wyoming Senator John Barrasso introduced a bill that would strengthen the Federal Land Policy and Management Act of 1976 to clarify public involvement in rulemaking processes related to America's public lands. Now, the bill comes after widespread concern that the BLM's comment process doesn't ensure validity of comments or even provide sufficient context for comment sorting, as it's the standard across other public comment platforms. According to the Public Lands Council, the bill specifies that only U.S. citizens can participate in these processes, ensuring that public comments considered in rulemaking are exclusively from U.S. citizens, and it also blocks artificial intelligence interference in land rules. For the Western Ag Network, I'm Russell Nemitz.
Taking your calls live, 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's get your reactions here on Montana Talks, 406-294-0970, and then I'll get into the interview with Jesse Waters with President Trump, Vice President candidate J.D. Vance, and more that we got ready to roll for you here. Nancy, your thoughts, Joe Biden withdrawn from the race.
Well, good morning, Glory. I just have to say I'm not surprised. Now, this is what I find very shocking and surprising. It's the way they did it. It was a diabolical setup. This has been in the making since he first stepped into the Oval Office way back in 2020. And the plan is, what I don't get is that he's saying that he's keeping in office, but yet he's not capable of running for another term as president. That does not make sense. And usually there's a video of him signing important documents. We didn't see this. And also the fact that Kamala Harris, I have a feeling that the Democratic Convention in Chicago is going to be a contested convention. And the reason is, I'm going to tell you who I think is going to contest her nomination for future president. It's going to be Hillary. I think Hillary Clinton's going to come out of the woodwork. She's been foaming at the mouth ever since 2016. I think this is her last chance, her last stand. She's 76 years old. She's going to go for it. And I don't know, Aaron, if you saw it or not, but on Twitter, Obama put a tweet up saying that he more or less has been making all the major decisions ever since Biden has stepped into the Oval Office. And there was a page that he put up. And to me, if this is the case, everything, all these laws, the open border, everything is has to be invalid. I don't know. I'm going to call our representatives like AG Austin Knudsen today and some others and see what they think.
Yeah.
Because he's not the president anymore. And if he's making all these decisions, But that's my stand on it. I'm worried. And if you have the time, you know what would be fun? If you had the time, you could put a montage together of Kamala Harris, all these tackling, all these laughing episodes she's done, and let people know, is this who you're going to vote for? Do you want her in the Oval Office?
I should already have some of that ready to go. I know, yeah. I found some via Twitter. Oh, yeah, look, okay, I'm seated in my folder now, yeah. Interesting what you say about Hillary Clinton, that Hillary Clinton will eventually challenge Kamala at the convention. The Clintons have already endorsed Kamala. But I could see where Hillary would be like, oh, I'll endorse her. And then she can come back later and stab her in the back and say, well, obviously she's not getting the momentum, and then withdraw her endorsement and then decide to run against her. Who knows? But I'll tell you what's interesting. Nancy, thanks for the call. What's interesting is, and maybe I'll play this next. So Josh Hawley, Missouri Senator Josh Hawley, he was on Fox News over the weekend saying he doesn't think it won't be Kamala. Kamala will not be their candidate, even though everybody seems to be rallying behind her right now, other than Barack Hussein Obama, of course. And then the other thing that's interesting is, Vivek said the same thing. So I'll see if I got the Vivek audio for you coming up. Let's see if the Fox News update plays for us. Okay, it looks like it is not playing. That's all right. We don't need to roll it there, Caden. We thought that...
The Democratic Party is noticeably divided over whether its members will back Vice President...
Okay. All right. Yeah. Our team, our production people were supposed to automate that, but obviously, apparently automating that one little thing takes a really, 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 really long time. That's all right. That's all right. We got plenty of news in front of us right now. If we skip that 60-second Fox update, that's all right. I've got several Fox News radio reports in front of me that I can run for you. Okay. Vivek Ramaswamy, he says that he believes that it will not be Kamala Harris. She will not be the party's nominee.
Look, I think the main message, Sean, is we are not even running against a candidate here. We are running against a machine. And that machine has crushed the will of everyday citizens in both parties. That includes Democrats. So I think there are a lot of Democrats who may not agree with everything that our party says or that Donald Trump says, but who are sick and tired of being lied to by their own leaders. And our message to those Democrats is this. You know what? You may not agree with everything Republicans say, but at least you deserve a party and a president who tells you the actual truth. And I think this could be a moment to win by an even larger margin by saying that, you know what? You're welcome in a Republican party that may not agree with you on all policies, but is at least going to respect you and be honest with you, as it's now clear the Democratic elite has not been with their own voter base.
It really is. Now, let's talk about the fact that they're not supporting Kamala Harris, the very same people that I would argue pushed Biden out. You know, it says a lot to me that, you know, you have the Obamas. We know that Barack gave the wink and the nod to George Clooney to write that New York Times op-ed. We know he's been working hard behind the scenes. We know that he gave the okay to Schumer and Pelosi to do the things that they've been doing. And then all of those same voices are silent tonight. Now, the Congressional Black Caucus, very prominent voices within the Democratic Party, James Clyburn, others, they're supporting Kamala Harris. But they're the same group of people that didn't win out in this battle for Joe Biden to stay in. So who's going to win the next battle?
Yeah. So look, I say this as somebody who a year ago predicted Joe was not going to be the nominee. I'm going to predict that Kamala Harris is not going to be the nominee either. And the reason is if they get one shot, they're going to take their absolute best shot that they can.
Who is it?
That's clearly not Kamala
Who's
Harris.
That?
This, well, look, I think there's a lot of open possibilities. I would not write off the possibility that it ends up being Michelle Obama. She checks off the same identity politic boxes, and it's going to be somebody who's maybe above the fray that doesn't create the same kind of infighting that could debilitate their party.
So Barack
the reality, Sean,
is the Barack is the is literally leading the charge, trying to keep his, you know, keeping plausible deniability, and then his own wife takes over.
All right. There you go. That was, as you can tell, a segment from a special edition of Sean Hannity over the weekend as well. J.D. Vance. J.D. Vance had to say this about Kamala Harris and why Joe Biden should step down.
Fox News alert. Now that Joe Biden's dropping out of the race, there's a growing call for him to leave the White House right now. In our exclusive interview with Trump and Vance, they laid it out. Invoke the 25th Amendment.
Is it a coup against Joe Biden?
I think it is. I mean, look, there's a constitutional process, the 25th Amendment. If Joe Biden can't run for president, he can't serve as president. And if they want to take him down because he's mentally incapable of serving, invoke the 25th Amendment. You don't get to sort of do this in the most politically beneficial way for Democrats. If it's an actual problem, they should take care of it in the appropriate way.
All right. Now, President Trump talked with Jesse Waters as well, says we don't know who we're running against. As I said earlier, they know what they're running against.
Media Minute with Howard Kurtz.
At first, the media reported only that many Democratic lawmakers were unhappy with President Biden and feared that he was going to lose badly to Donald Trump. And naming the 15 or even 20 Democrats would come out publicly against the president. But then began an orchestrated campaign of leaks. In other words, the private interventions didn't work. So now suddenly it was leaking out that Chuck Schumer, Democratic Majority Leader, that Hakeem Jeffries, the House Minority Leader, that Nancy Pelosi, the former Speaker, had very blunt conversations telling President he can't win. And yet the White House keeps denying it. And then it moved on to, well, he's begun to accept the idea that he may have to bow out. Well, according to sources, it's only a matter of time. It's only a matter of when. That could be the outcome here. But the leaking campaign has really had an impact. With your Media Minute, Howie Kurtz, Fox News.
I'm Eben Brown. Are you old enough to remember cigarette vending machines and bowling alleys? They didn't look like the soda and candy vending machines. They had those little pull handles, and if you had put in the correct change, pulling that handle meant getting a pack of smokes. Now, those are long gone now because of public indoor smoking bans, and there was also little way of making sure underage kids with coins couldn't get a hand on cigarettes. Now, some grocery store locations in Alabama and Oklahoma have vending machines selling ammunition. And while you can't smoke ammo, there is still an age restriction in buying it. And that's why the machines, operated by the American Rounds Company, use high tech to check IDs and scan faces. The machines resemble ATM kiosks, and the ammo vending machines can be set to comply with all local laws and ordinances. So the company has plans for more installs. And those are your bullet points. I'm Eben Brown, Fox News.
Montana Senator Steve Daines addressing a national audience at the Republican National Convention as he talked about his efforts to win back majority control of the U.S. Senate in support of President Trump. He was sitting, by the way, right next to President Trump, a sign of how important it is that Montana elects Tim Sheehy in the U.S. Senate. Meanwhile, flip-flop, flat-top takes Chuck Schumer's marching orders once again. The full story, MontanaTalks.com.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
So what are Montana Democrats thinking? Well, you can tell us if you're one of those Montana Democrats. But here's the thing. I think if you want to know what the Montana Democrat Party is thinking, you have to look to Missoula. As I've mentioned before on this show, If you're one of these people that's still voting for the Democrat Party because you think it's still the Democrat Party of whoever, they don't. If you live in Plentywood or Scobie, they don't care what you think. They don't care what you think. This is the Missoula Democrat Party. And I saw Ellie Boldman. I can't remember which name. I think she goes by Boldman now. Ellie Boldman sent out via Twitter. She wants the Democrat ticket to be Kamala Harris. I'm with her. You were probably with Hillary, too. She wants it to be Kamala Harris and Pete Buttigieg. My goodness. I mean, that has been the failure of the Biden administration. You can think whatever you want about Joe Biden. You can think of whatever you want about Joe Biden's capabilities and whether he's actually been running things or not. The people that Joe Biden has put in power has been the reason why his administration is such a failure. Pete Buttigieg, a failure at the Department of Transportation. Kamala Harris, a failure as the border czar. A failure in so many different ways. That's who Ellie Boldman and the Missoula Democrats think the ticket should be? Oh, brother. Good night. But no, you watch, though. I know. Look, I know some of you out there are thinking, oh, man, Kamala Harris is going to be so easy to beat. She should be. But you just remember this. You just remember this. As we mentioned, probably as recently as last week or 2 weeks ago, as we discussed this, what was then hypothetical, what if Joe Biden is not their nominee? And we made the point, you know, actually, it was shortly after the disastrous debate as the media and the Democrats started turning on Joe Biden. We said it right here on this show. We said, look, they're trashing Joe Biden right now. But no matter who the Democrat Party decides their nominee is going to be, whether it ends up being Joe Biden, whether it being Kamala, whether it being somebody else, you watch as the fake news media just runs with a fake news narrative, and they're going to prop up and they're going to carefully craft that candidate to have this Camelot-style coverage and their attempted coronation. And you just watch their phony media coverage. They're already doing it for Kamala right now. The question is, will this phony Camelot coverage last, right? But anyway, let's go back to, let me print that email off with some news headlines. Let's go back to this Jesse Waters special primetime edition on a Sunday following the big news that Joe Biden was withdrawing from the presidential race. But still apparently staying on as president. Now, wait, before I play this clip, isn't it also interesting? We still have not seen Joe Biden. As Nancy and Rhonda pointed out, no video, no little photo of him like signing his own letter. Matt Walsh, let's see. Matt Walsh, if you want to go just down the full thread of tweets, The Daily Wire's Matt Walsh was just on a roll for the past 24 hours. Matt Walsh said this about 10 hours ago. If you were shocked to find out that Joe Biden is dropping out of the race, imagine how Joe Biden will feel when he finds out. About an hour later, he says, by the way, it is absolutely bat Schiff. Insane that the president of the United States dropped out of the race with a tweet. Nobody has seen or heard from the guy all day. Just a tweet. In fact, I think Lawrence Jones even made this point on Fox and Friends earlier. Remember Dianne Feinstein before she passed away? Remember how long she held on to power and refused to leave office. Her own staff prepared a statement saying that she was withdrawing from the race. Apparently that statement went out. It was all over the news. And when Dianne Feinstein herself was asked about it, when she was being wheeled around the Capitol, her response was, What statement? So I can see where some people like Matt Walsh are saying, until we actually see Joe Biden say that he dropped out of the race, what statement?
You don't even know who you're running against.
No.
You could be debating Kamala. What's going on?
I have no idea. So we are the most unified party I think that's ever existed. We had 100% of the delegates there with us, and you saw the spirit. There was never a convention like this, and it's so fresh in everyone's mind. It was just a beautiful event. It was everything about it was beautiful. The the camaraderie, but the unity. There's never been anything like it. 100% of the people are for us.
Yeah.
And they're for the party. They're for everybody. They're for the senators. They're for the congressmen and women that are running. It was a beautiful thing to watch. There was no dissension. There were no fights on the floor. I mean, some of these conventions are vicious.
There might be a vicious convention in Chicago.
It could be.
So they're going to hook up something at the convention. They might throw Gretchen Whitmer at you. They might throw Gavin Newsom at you. They might throw Michelle Obama at you.
Yeah, I wouldn't be worried about any of them. Look, they have bad policies. Forget about the people. They have an open border policy. They have a high tax policy. They have a bad military policy. The whole world is going woke. Their world is going woke. The Green New Scam, we're spending all our money on things that don't work.
All right. And by the way, Joe Biden somehow, nobody's seen nor heard from him, but somehow also released, what was it, billions or millions more? Our guest producer, Caden. Oh, billion. Yeah, here we go. Biden administration announces $4.3 billion in climate grants. Nobody's seen or heard from him, but he's releasing $4.3 billion to pay off his climate alarmist whacktivists that are destroying this country. Unbelievable. Let's see here. Where is it here? Pete Buttigieg. Pete Buttigieg. What a train wreck. What a train wreck. What a airport runway wreck. What a bridge collapse wreck. I mean, what more can we say about Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg? What a failure he has been. But yet, ask the Missoula Democrats that run the Montana Democrat Party who should be Kamala's vice presidential running mate. Pete Buttigieg has also been lying about Joe Biden. Here's Mayor Pete on Bill Maher's program over the weekend, I believe.
Having said that, can we get serious about Joe Biden? Could I get you tonight to join the list of people? It's going to be everybody at some point who said.
No.
No. Okay. He's got balls, this guy. I got to say it.
I'm here because I believe in Joe Biden. And I get it, all right? I didn't come here to say he's not 10 years older than he was 10 years ago, or deny that sometimes he mixes up names, as Donald Trump does, sometimes said this name when he obviously meant that name. But the thing about Joe Biden is he's really good at being president.
Wow. Wow, Pete Buttigieg lying up until the very end, lying up until the very end. You know, Bill Maher at one point said that Breitbart News has that video, by the way. Breitbart News points out that you know, Bill Maher is saying, okay, come on, Pete. It gets ridiculous. And yet he kept lying. He kept lying. So Pete Buttigieg lying up until the very end. No way he is anywhere near qualified to be a vice president. Stephen Ballantyne, we got about a minute before the break. Thanks for calling in.
Morning, Aaron. No one so far, other than I've seen it on Fox a little bit, they're forgetting about Kennedy. I listened a little bit of him making a remark after the announcement of Biden, and he really hammered on both Trump and Biden, and he was going off on the national debt, and he put up a bunch of numbers. He rattled off a bunch of numbers, the ones that we've been saying forever now, that we basically can't even pay off the national, you know, the interest is more than what we're, you know, basically we're going bankrupt. And he said that Trump ran it up and Biden ran it up, so my thinking is, you know, that there's a lot of people that's going to probably cross over to Kennedy, and they're not talking about it.
Yeah, except for, you know, RFK would spend even more money than Trump, than any Republican out there. I mean, he's a radical leftist. I mean, good, he stood up to the vaccine mandates. Well, good job on that one thing. But, man, he's just a radical leftist. But, yeah, why wouldn't the Democrats go for him? And look at what they did to him, right?
Turn up your radio. Here's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
Operation Dump and Destroy Biden is in full force. We keep hearing Mark Halperin reporting that he will get out of the race as soon as Sunday. On the other hand, we're hearing a Biden spokesman shooting down this as a baseless story. So I don't know what the truth is. But when Chris Coons of Delaware, one of his closest friends, is saying that Biden is weighing who is the best candidate to win in November, you know, something is going on here. Whether or not Biden eventually does this or not, I have no idea of knowing. I know everybody wants to be in the know. I'm not going to act like I am. I think the odds are higher that he gets out. I think the odds then would be higher that Kamala Harris becomes Donald Trump's opponent.
Check out the Sean Hannity radio show later today, right here.
You know, out of all the things we can do to maintain and protect our homes, you know what? Getting up on a ladder, cleaning out the gutters, that's the last thing anyone wants to do. I know, I've done it. And right now you can save up to 30% off your entire purchase when you go to leaffilter.com/Hannity. An investment in Leaf Filter is an investment engineered to protect your entire home. Now, the beauty of Leaf Filter is they take care of everything start to finish. Every installation comes with a free inspection, free estimate, and a lifetime guarantee. Now, a Leaf Filter Trusted Pro will clean out, realign, seal your gutters before installing Leaf Filter. Protect your home and never clean out gutters ever again with Leaf Filter. They're America's number one gutter protection system. And schedule your free inspection. Get up to 30% off your entire purchase when you go to leaffilter.com/Hannity. That's a free inspection up to 30% off, leaffilter.com/Hannity. And do it today.
See representative for warranty details. Promotion is 20% off plus a 10% senior or military discount, one discount per household.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
How much will the market go up today? How many jobs did the economy add last month? How much will the state budget surplus be? It's human nature to think that tomorrow will be just like today, all the more so during the summer months of endless sunny days in Montana, when many of us put our professional worries on hold while we enjoy the privileges of living here. Yet the economy, just like life, serves a curveball from time to time. In an important sense, Montana is already being thrown one. If you measure growth in state government revenues in terms of inflation-corrected dollars, as you should, you find that our revenues are falling. In the first 11 months of the fiscal year, Montana's tax revenues were down by 1.5%, according to the Urban Institute. Without accounting for inflation, there was weak growth. That's quite a change from the double-digit increases in revenues of 2021 and 22. When you measure regional economic growth by looking at state revenues, a sobering picture emerges of revenue declines from those sky-high levels of the past. Patrick Barkey.
With Batteries Plus. Visit one of over 700 locations today.
A veteran from Jordan, Montana, laments the dehumanization of Trump and Trump's supporters. MontanaTalks.com. Check out the audio.
Adopt U.S. Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the Lingo.
GOAT. G-O-A-T. Acronym. Stands for Greatest of All Time. As in, spaghetti sandwiches for dinner? They're my fave. Dad, you're the GOAT.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. U.S. Kids and the Ad Council.
Brought to you from the Montana Hot Spring Spas, home of the only saltwater hot tub in Montana studios.
Taking your calls live. 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we had a big news day Friday, and yet here we go again, another big news day here on this Monday as well. But I do want to play the legislative update here from the Montana Family Foundation's Jeff Lasloff. I normally play it at this time every Friday. But we had so many phone calls and more rolling in on Friday morning. But I want to get to it here this morning. And don't worry, we'll have plenty more time later on in the 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, and 9 o'clock hours to get to more of your reactions and phone calls, et cetera. So here you go, the legislative update from the Montana Family Foundation.
This week, the Montana courts continued to take center stage, and the judge that found himself in the hot seat repeatedly was Helena District Court Judge Mike Minahan. The recent tit-for-tat began on Monday when Judge Minahan appeared before the Senate Select Committee on Judicial Oversight and Reform. As you may recall, the committee was created last year to investigate and find solutions to the growing number of complaints by conservatives that the courts in Montana are consistently biased in favor of the left. This, they claim, is evidenced by the number of conservative bills overturned by the courts in recent years. The committee's discussions were heated at times, as one would expect, and Judge Minahan defended the judiciary as completely unbiased, as one would also expect. This despite the fact that Republican lawmakers discovered a tranche of emails 3 years ago in which judges were clearly prejudging cases. It embarrassed the judiciary and destroyed the myth of judicial impartiality. For the first time, we had evidence for what we had suspected all along. Many judges are just as political as legislators or the governor. In Judge Minahan's case, much of the controversy centers around cases that involve Planned Parenthood and the issue of abortion. Judge Minahan previously served in the Montana Senate, where he had a 100% pro-abortion voting record and was endorsed by Planned Parenthood. As a judge, he also has a 100% record in deciding cases in favor of those who support abortion, which caused me to file a complaint last year with the Judicial Standards Commission when Judge Minahan refused to recuse himself in several cases involving pro-life laws passed by the legislature. True to form, when deciding those cases, he once again gave Planned Parenthood everything they asked for, and he did so again on Tuesday, the day after appearing before the Judicial Reform Committee. Tuesday's case involved signatures on the inactive voter list being excluded from the signature totals necessary to qualify CI 128, the pro-abortion constitutional amendment, from the ballot. Secretary of State Christy Jacobson said inactive voters do not meet the definition of qualified voters as required by law. Planned Parenthood wanted these signatures included and sued to have them added back into the signature totals. Once again, Judge Minahan granted Planned Parenthood's request, despite the fact that cases directly on point were introduced that stated that inactive voters are not qualified to sign petitions for constitutional amendments. Judge Minahan then found himself front and center again yesterday when lawyers for the Secretary of State filed an emergency petition with the state Supreme Court to have Tuesday's decision vacated. The Secretary of State argued that Judge Minahan ruled incorrectly on the definition of a qualified voter and also argued that the judge did not have the authority to rewrite statutory election deadlines, which he also did as part of his decision. Regardless of where these cases wind up, they continue to cast doubt on the ability of certain judges to rule impartially on certain issues. In Judge Minahan's case, he may very well be impartial, but when he in effect becomes the go-to judge for cases involving an organization with which he has a 100% voting record, it just doesn't pass the smell test. If for no other reason than to avoid the appearance of a conflict of interest, the judge should recuse himself to preserve the court's appearance of impartiality. For the Montana Family Foundation, this is Jeff Laszlofy reminding you that this government is your government and your input does make a difference.
Contact the Montana Family Foundation at 406-628-1141 or on the web at montanafamily.org.
All right. Thanks to Jeff Laszlofy for that update as always. And yeah, we typically play that every Friday, but yeah, got a little tied up Friday. So glad we could share that for you today. Let's see. The big story we should have been talking about today deals with the Secret Service. Did you hear the stunning admission that just came out?
Dean.
Did you get a call or message that mentioned Social Security that made you feel threatened or scared? That is not the Social Security Administration. Social Security will not threaten you, press you for personal information, or demand instant payment. Social Security does not accept payments by gift card, prepaid debit card, internet currency, or by mailing cash. Criminals use these forms of payment because they are hard to trace. Don't fall for it. Hang up, ignore them. Report this criminal activity to oig.ssa.gov.
Produced at U.S. taxpayer expense.